A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Doug Wright.
Yes, I am pretty despicable. You don't want to cross me.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Nobody will believe this, but you know what I was just doing?
Signing an autograph.
I had to pay the guy $20.
Well, come on, everyone's.
But it left a really good impression.
I have a check here. I'd like your autograph.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. It's going to cost you more than $20 for me to sign that one. What is that? $1 million.
Yeah.
Hey, today, this special edition of the movie show is coming to you from the District, right, Jeff the Whipple? We're at the District.
We are live at the District, the Megaplex Theaters at the District, where fans are celebrating the opening of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and we're having a party.
I think of some of the great folks we've already seen, of course, all the current crew of the Megaplex Theaters. We've got past crew of the Megaplex. We've had John Rhys-Davies with us, who is Sala in the movie, and we will see him in the Indiana Jones Episode 5, The Dial of Destiny.
I love his part in this movie.
I do too. I do too. And I thought it was just perfect. He calls it a cameo. It's not a cameo role. But it's, you know, he's not in the whole movie, you know, coming back and forth like we saw him in The Last Crusade and in Raiders of the Lost Ark. But how much fun to have him back in the movie.
Roll it back. Where do I sign up to sit and watch it again? I'm in. Yep. I just love this franchise.
We talked with him for just a few minutes, Steve, on Jeff's program. We just had a little short window there.
Yeah.
But we continued that conversation. We're going to share that just after 8 o'clock here at KSL.
I can't remember which part got recorded, because we were asking him about how much he respects and protects that character of Sala. Was that in it?
No, that wasn't on tape. But he really does. I mean, he's been very careful with that character, even within the franchise itself.
Yeah, Crystal Skull, they said, hey, can you just drop by?
And he thought, it's just not respectful enough to the character.
Exactly.
Not to me, but to the character.
But you notice he also said to Harrison Ford.
I thought that was interesting.
Right.
Well, they were partners. I mean, that's the great thing. It wasn't a buddy movie, really.
Yeah.
But yet, I mean, in both, you know, The Last Crusade and in Raiders, I mean, he was there. I mean, he was like, he had Indy's back all the time.
My
in
favorite
that part
line
of the world.
Bad dates.
Bad dates. I asked him, and you'll hear this in the interview, but I said, okay, now, we're right at the end of our interview here, but we're very aware of the date when you saved Indiana Jones's life.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you save Indy's life?
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, well, and then he just, discretion. You know,
he didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know. But he acted like he was being very, very. And then the stories he was telling us about Sean Connery,
yes,
on and off the air. Oh, my goodness.
The Black Mamba.
The alpha males.
Oh, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, and when you get Harrison Ford, who is an alpha male, at least in character.
Yeah.
And then you get the real alpha male there. That must have been an interesting time on the set.
You know how many times he said dad in Last Crusade?
How many?
66 times.
Really?
And they are only 12 years apart in age.
Wow. And how many times did he get called Junior?
Junior.
And then I love it, his response, him, I'm speaking of Sala, I'm speaking of John, when he finds out that he's named after the dog. I just love how tickled he is by the fact that he's named after the dog. Okay, hey.
What a great character.
The opening of the movie show. We probably ought to actually act like we're, on some kind of a format
this
tonight.
It's a special edition. I don't know.
Special edition. What does that mean, Jeff? Special edition. We can do whatever we want?
Well, you've just seen the best magic trick I can pull, so I'm not sure, what else we can go from here.
Let me tell you about the magic this guy has pulled. Yeah, I pulled up. Well, actually, I was cutting a little close getting here with the traffic tonight. And he goes, well, hey, just pull up. And, you know, I said, well, can't I just pull right into the lobby, you know, because we've had the Ferraris here before and everything else. And he goes, well, you'd have to kind of go through the Maserati. And I thought you were kidding. There's a Maserati parked out there. Yeah. There's also a Camel.
Parked out there.
And then we have one of the stars of the movie here with us tonight. I mean, you know, this is kind of one of those movies we've seen this. Who are you guys? How do you pull this off?
It's the dial of destiny.
The dial of destiny.
You gotta respect the franchise. You gotta respect the moments in life, and this is a dial of destiny moment.
Well, I know it wasn't because you dropped Steve's name.
Well,
when I was pulling up, thanks for that little throwaway.
I
saw those people standing out in front of me. Oh, I wonder what Jeff's cooked up this time.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I saw the Camel. I'm like, what?
I mean, think of just this location alone, the District Theater. We've come in here to the Ferrari that was in the race. Then we had the other.
I got to fix that. It was the Fords that won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's right. Pardon me.
The Miller family owns the Fords.
It was the Fords that won, the Shelbys.
Yeah, Ford v. Ferrari, and we had the real cars here.
And by the way, James Mangold, who directed that movie, tried to get Harrison Ford to be in Ford v. Ferrari.
Oh, wow. Wow. So we've had these, I mean, the real cars that actually won the race against Enzo, you know, right there. When I've also met R2-D2 here, and the Camel, and the Maserati out front, and John Reed. And then, you know, it was upstairs here that I met Miley Cyrus.
That's right.
That's right.
Miley Cyrus. Her and her dad were here.
Yeah. Yep. They were here.
You weren't going to mention Billy Ray or whatever.
Billy Ray. You know, well, he had a lot of bling. He had one of the biggest crosses I've ever seen. You know,
in case there was a question.
In case there was any question about his religion. So.
Ooh, I have a great cross story.
Really?
So they're making this movie.
Yeah.
Remember the parade scene?
Yeah.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge said they were all sitting around, and Harrison Ford, you know, one of the executive producers, goes, the cross doesn't look right. They're not holding it right. And he barks out, someone get me a Catholic.
That is a great line. That scene reminds me so much of The Godfather. It really does. It's kind of hard to tell the difference between a funeral and a wedding in Sicily.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just kind of what the outcome is, I suppose, whether you go off on a honeymoon or you go underground 6 feet. But
the question started, though, she said, is he funny or hard? They were told that he is hard to make laugh.
Mm.
And she goes, oh, no. You just need to know what to say.
What to say.
Yeah.
All right. It is 7:13. We probably ought to run through the movie show rundown for the next 2 hours. So here we go. The official...
I have no idea what we're doing.
It's the warning. It's the disclaimer on the movie show. I know what we're doing here.
All right.
I got the memo. Here we go.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
The movie show. Special feature.
Okay. We're going to give you the preview review of Indiana Jones.
A preview review?
A preview review, which basically means we're going to review it and then we're going to repeat that tomorrow morning.
Oh, I have plenty of stuff.
Verbatim. Yeah,
okay,
so
we can just record that then.
Uh-huh.
So I can go shopping at
NBS. We'll just phone the show in tomorrow. And then, let's see, what else are we going to do? We're going to do, we've got the very special guest in the 8 o'clock hour. I keep wanting to say the 10 o'clock hour. The 8 o'clock hour, and we'll replay the interview that we did with Sala from the movie. And did you think you were going to get out? Andy Farnsworth is here with us. Did you think that I would not have a telephone torture in this special edition, especially when we had Jeff V. Whipple here with us?
Yeah, no, I knew that we were going to. Yeah, we got to get as many telephone tortures as possible before the end of the day tomorrow.
That's so true. It
feels like the whole thing is really.
Lots of torture.
Yes,
torture. The whole show is really kind of torture. But I'll tell you what, there is a common theme coming up in telephone torture today.
Oh, boy.
I want for Christmas?
A common theme.
That's what I think of when I hear a theme.
Is that right?
That's what they were supposed to write in a Christmas
story. A plus. And poor little Ralphie got, what, a C? C plus? Something like that? Okay, so we've got that, and we're going to do the movie show top 10. But here's the rub. It's going to be top 10 Harrison Ford movies.
Mosquito Coast.
Of all time. Ooh, a lot of people like Mosquito Coast.
Was it on the list?
Yeah. Oh. Not on mine. I made my list,
oh,
Steve.
I thought...
This is Doug's list. I didn't put Apocalypse Now on there, although... Okay,
only movie snobs will have the Mosquito Coast on their top 10 Harrison Ford
movie
list.
I know, maha people that hold the little pinky out.
Exactly.
Maha. But I'll tell you what.
Graffiti.
Okay, we're going to look this up. Stone, would you do this for us? Would you look up Apocalypse Now, Harrison Ford?
And, oh, you think he's in it?
Oh, he's in it. Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, he looks exactly like our former producer, Lee Lonsberry. I am not kidding you. I mentioned that to Dee, and she goes, Harrison Ford and Lee Lonsberry? No way. And I said, go and look at the picture. And she goes, you're right. You'll
was
see.
Was he on a little boat?
He was Colonel somebody or another. I can't remember what it was.
He couldn't have been a Colonel.
No, he wasn't a Colonel then. But
so anyway. Here's the question. Is Harrison Ford in North by Northwest? Is he the page in the lobby that goes through asking for Mr. Kaplan?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
If it ain't him, it looks exactly like him.
Exactly,
but I think
like
it is
him. I was surprised at the movies, you know, that he has been.
Early
most
on?
Of
yeah.
Most of us think, well, American Graffiti. You know, that's the first time I ever saw or was even mildly aware.
He did some TV stuff before that. Yeah.
But anyway, so we're going to do the top 10 Harrison Ford movies. So we got that coming up, and Dee is actually going to show up.
She's here. I saw her.
You know, oh, she's right there. She's right there. She's going to show up with, I keep wanting to say quarantine pick, but the quirky pick for tonight, and she'll have a quirky pick tomorrow as well. So we probably, and I have no idea what the format is at this time of night.
I think
we probably ought to take a break here at this juncture. But look at that. Doesn't that look like...
No.
No. Oh, are you kidding me? Here, look. Look. Does that look like Lee Lonsberry?
With his mouth open, yeah, that's Lee.
I think we're going to need to post this on the Movie Show Facebook page and get everybody's opinion.
Yeah. Looks just like, but there's a picture of him somewhere in there that looks even more, and he was a producer of this show for quite a while. He did a show on KSL for a while.
Right.
He's worked with Senator Lee, and before that with Rob Bishop. And
yeah, so we knew him when.
We knew him when. But he has remembered the little people. I hear from him occasionally.
Yeah, he's done some nice stuff for us.
All right, let's take a break, and we will come right back with more of The Movie Show, the opening weekend for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Wish I sounded like John Rhys-Davies.
Wow, what a voice.
What a voice he's got.
I think
all right.
When we talked to him at Christmas, I wanted him to record my voice message.
Your voice. Hello,
you. This is John Rhys-Davies.
Steve can't come to the phone because his ankle bracelet won't even let him out of the bathroom. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more of The
One
Movie
more
Show.
Ankle
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
Okay, when we're talking big movie review, this is about as big as it gets. How long have we been waiting now? And especially after the Crystal Skull. Now, this is the order that I put them in. Raiders of the Lost Ark is number one, just because it's the original.
Lightning in a bottle, yeah.
It was, and as you'll hear in the interview that we do with John Rhys-Davies, there's just something magic. And even though maybe a subsequent movie in the series was technically better, it's hard to top that first one. So that's the way I go. Then I skip number two for another slot. Then I go number three, you know, the Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Temple of Doom, but I did like it better than Crystal Skull. But just up there with Temple of Doom and maybe just a hair better. So it's my third favorite in the series. And then, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Did I hit the mark here?
I think so. My personal is Last Crusade first, but I mean, if it is, it's by like the slimmest of hairs.
Well,
over
it's
Raiders.
Like it's like saying The Godfather. The Godfather, it is not the best movie. It's Godfather 2.
Yeah. Well,
that is
same
the
with
best
Star
movie.
Wars. That's
same thing with Star Wars. You know, Star Wars, the first one, but there's something about that first movie that sets the stage.
Yeah.
It's as you put it, lightning in a bottle, but. So where is it on your list, Stephen?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair list, I think, the numbers are.
You know, I've always said that there's nothing that tops Nazis for, I mean, I read a book once that said, you know, if Nazis had never come around, they almost would have had to have been invented in literature to be the perfect villains. And there is just something, and the whole beginning of this movie takes us back into that era, and we have a de-aged situation going on,
yeah.
And it goes much longer than I ever dreamed it would.
Well, here's the thing, and it's a little distracting, because the first 20 minutes, that's all you're going to do is stare at that face, and it's going to be a mistake, because that first 20 minutes is as action-packed. I mean, it's a tribute to Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's all about that. Saying, hey, look, we can do this. We did it, you know. And Spielberg, after he saw that, he goes, I thought I was the only one that could make these Indiana Jones movies. But yeah. Mangold nailed it. The problem is, you're staring at his face the whole time.
I know.
So try not to do that.
Yeah, try not to do it. But it's kind of like saying, you know, don't, you know, yeah, she's beautiful, but don't look at her. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, yeah, like, try not to.
Well, the thing should have smeared some Vaseline on the lens a little bit, play the old trick like they did back
in the remember that the in the old days? And they'd shoot through gauze and everything else to make
that
somebody.
Takes away just that little bit of detail, because that it's true. I thought they got it almost perfect with the digital. It was just the little tiny facial tics that Harrison Ford has that they couldn't quite duplicate. But if you do a little squinting, you can do it.
It is amazing. And then, of course, we flash into the where he is today. Or,
well,
you know,
1969.
1969. So. And, you know, he is on the verge of retirement. That sounds familiar to somebody here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's kind of, but then all of a sudden things click into a whole new deal. And I don't want to give away too much, but let's just put it this way. Going back into the old, old, old world, because the Dial of Destiny has roots that go a long way back.
Yeah, that might be the problem for me, is that those fissures of time, when they do hit one and it does what it does, I thought, really? Are we really doing this? Okay.
You know, whenever you mess around with time, you know, Doc was right. You mess with the time continuum, you know, it can be problematic.
Yeah, and I thought some of the bad guys, they were like a bureau of bad dudes, you know, like, okay, whose team are you on again, and what are you doing? So there was a little bit of that I thought, you know, just narrow it down. You got Mads Mikkelsen in this movie. Let him be the bad guy, and just, you know, Boyd Holbrook and those other people, like, get out of there.
They did have the big German to punch.
Yeah,
did.
Well, you got
that's
have.
Requisite for an Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, and the sound effect on punching a Nazi is
that's the best.
Oh, I know. And, you know,
they call it the Thunder Punch, I believe, or something like that.
Well, and in the second movie, Temple of Doom, you know, punching the Asian guy wasn't just enough. You know, it just didn't work as well. And punching the communists, you know, it's not as fun as punching Nazis. And
I don't disagree.
You know?
Not at all.
And
they're
villains. And they're so well-dressed. Their uniforms are so snappy.
We want to make a mess out of them.
I know. You just want to hit them.
So where are you on this?
Okay. I'm torn between 3, which is what it really is, but a 3.5. Which I'm going to give it just for the heck of it. And, you know, I dare you guys to mock me for it.
No, I'm at 3.
Same here. 3 out of 5, 4. 3 out of 4 for me.
Can't talk you into 3.5?
I was rounding up, actually. I was a little bit below 3, but I rounded up a little
bit. Was below 3.
This is going to be true for a lot of people, and it's just the truth. You're going to spend part of the movie just trying to reconcile your memories of Indy with seeing him live now. You just are. So that's what I'm saying. I reserve the right to raise it on a second viewing. But
how much do you think that is? You know, because sometimes a critic watches the movies, or just even a diehard movie geek watches it a little different than that couple and the people that maybe see 5-6 movies a year. And this is certainly going to be
this will be way high up there for sure. And maybe it's just the cynicism of seeing so many movies.
Jeff the Whipple.
Yeah, Jeff's shaking his
head. We need to turn to the wit and the wisdom of Jeff the Whipple, who is over here.
I think
here.
You need to recuse yourself, to be honest.
The Wilhelm scream was there.
Yes,
there,
it was.
There were just there were these so many delightful moments of fan service that made us fall in love with this franchise in the beginning.
Yeah.
And if you read into it anything beyond that, you've missed the point, fellas.
Yeah.
Really, it was just a delightful film. It was a time machine trip back to the good old days.
Now, fellas, you're talking about that.
Those guys. Okay. I was so happy. Every time the music started
yep.
with oh, we're going to... There was one moment that I wish, and I actually said it to the reviewer as we were walking out of the trade screening. I'd say it again tonight, but I don't want to spoil a syllable, a frame of this film for anyone. Kids have not seen this kind of movie on this size screen unless they've, you know, we brought it back for them. And this is how movies ought to be made.
So, on the real scale, not, you know, Steve's wimpy A, B, C, D, E, F, where you can, you know, do anything you want, but where we really have rules from 1 to 4, where do you come down on this?
The mimes. No, I'm at least a 3.5. I'm 3.5, and I am shamelessly fanboying this because that's what I wanted to see. This was comfort food for a film franchise fan.
And talk about this is Mission Impossible. To create this, you know, you've got Spielberg's out, Mangold's in, and he's got to like try to finish off these indie movies in a quality way. He did that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
And here's another point. You may not want to stay through the closing credits because there is no post-credit scene. But here's why you should. John Williams.
Right. Yeah. The score is...
At that age, creating all that new sound and new music, stay for that. And just to appreciate and to thank the legacy that's been created by these 5 films. And, you know, then leave. But
and serving up
music.
The classic, too. You get the classics, but the new music is greatly woven into it.
I was trying to figure out that he's got a Helena theme just for Phoebe Waller-Bridge, which I thought was really cool. And the idea there, bring in a fresh face. They wanted somebody that looked like Barbara Stanwyck from The Lady Eve, you know, who's kind of charming but also a con woman, and she was perfect.
So let me do the inventory here. We've got a barely 3. We've got a 3 solid 3, and we've got a generous 3.5, and we've got an absolute 3.5.
I hear a lot of 3 going on here. Nobody's going to go 4, huh? Come on.
5? 6?
5. There we go.
Now you're just saying numbers.
All right. Well, there you have it. You've heard it from Andy. You've heard it from Steve. You've heard it from me. But most important, you've heard it from Jeff the Whipple.
Wow, you're really kissing up, aren't you?
I really am kissing up because, you know, pretty soon I don't have... You know, this is a weird thing, really quick. Do we need to break for news here?
Yeah, we do.
There is.
Do we do it this time of night?
Just good news.
We still do news on KSL's radio.
Well, we do news all the time. But I remember one time I broke for news and there was no news. Do you remember that on that?
I don't.
Yeah, we were doing one of the nighttime shows and I go, we don't do news here. And I go, okay.
Can we do news?
It's 7:30-ish.
It's 7:30-ish.
So what do you want
to say?
Just
not as angry about it if you're late at this time of day.
Oh, nobody gets angry at me. Look at this face. How could you possibly be angry at this face? When I went to see Mission Impossible, I'm going, I'm here enjoying this movie and I'm not.
You don't have to do a darn thing about it.
I can just enjoy it.
Yeah,
I don't have to justify myself to you little people.
Well, you sure barked it up when you came in.
Why'd you guys camp out here?
Well, you guys must have been there, you know, what, 5 hours early?
No, we mean 15 minutes. I can spare 15 minutes of my life.
Really?
To get a decent seat. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, now you're really late.
No, I'm not.
And then Doug demanded that Steve give up his seat.
No. Well, my poor wife is hobbling along with her broken hip.
I believe you called
her
crippled wife.
Well, that's been a little joke, Bob. Do you remember? Anyway, you can't go to memory road because the...
Now you're worried about time.
Yeah, now I'm really worried about time. 7:31, let's take a break as we broadcast a special unbridled edition of the movie show from the Megaplex Theaters.
Doug Wright, Steve Sales, and the KSL Movie Show.
And it's a special edition of the movie show here the night that Indiana Jones is back. And, you know, you used a term that I really liked, and I've heard it before, obviously, especially, you know, we hear it a lot with the superhero movies, but the fan service. I love the fact that there is fan service in this movie. And boy, let's talk about the practical aspects of fan service. You know, in the old days, if you wanted to add another theater, you had to stretch, you know, through those runners that were along the ceilings that went to the various projection booths, you had to run it down. Now it's just a matter of just go, okay, hey, we're almost sold out. Click, there's another theater.
It predates my experience working for Megaplex because I think the digital conversion was mostly there, but the up in the projection areas, the space that would run between auditoriums upstairs matches what happens downstairs. And when a movie started at 7 o'clock and the same title started at 7:09,
right,
that took 9 minutes for that individual frame of film to go through the first projector, thread through it completely, go through a loop, and then out the door of the projection booth, down the hall, and into the second projector.
Right.
So it would be an auditorium one at 7 o'clock and 7:09 for the next one.
Yeah.
And that's where film got beat up and scratched, and the audio would get banged up.
The door gets closed.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
that actually happened.
Blake and others talk about, you know, Cal's here and Larry. They've all got stories of the spaghetti that would come with, oh, my goodness.
You know, a lot of kids, they don't get, you know, when we see that thing, the countdown, you know, 10, 9, 8, and then all of a sudden the film melts. I mean, I saw that.
Oh.
You know, you'd be sitting there and you go, okay, we're in trouble. You know, something stopped up there because the power of those old arc lamps, for one thing.
The arc lamps and the, yeah.
And then the xenon bulbs and everything else. And, I mean, it would just melt. And in the old days, when it was nitro film, it would ignite it.
Yeah, light up.
Yeah.
It would literally.
Yeah.
We take for granted in this digital world we live in the fact that you can see a movie 3 weeks later just pristine. The color is perfect. The sound is perfect. It's a clone of what opened on the original night.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the luxuries we have. And we were just talking about the IMAX bulb. They tell me that if one was to light up that bulb on the moon, it would look like somebody was just walking around with a flashlight. It's that bright.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just the technology. And bless the Millers for investing in the experience here. They are just extraordinary to treat movie fans, and we have the best in the world.
The other night,
quality experience.
When we were there seeing Mission Impossible at Gateway, and you're in those, I mean, state of the art. Movie theaters, and you know the Atmos thing comes up, and you just hear the sound just all over the place. It is truly breathtaking. How many screens are you showing Indy on tonight?
Well, that's one of the other benefits of the projection systems that we have. So we have them starting about every 15 to 20 minutes, based on how full the auditoriums are. Tickets are on sale. You can look online or on our app, and people triangulate here along the Wasatch Front. They figure out where they're going to do dinner, and then they figure out who they're meeting up, and then they figure out what showtime is going to work best.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a showtime through this holiday weekend for not only Indiana Jones, but we've got still great films playing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so much fun to be back, and we don't take it for granted.
Yeah, that's another thing that has so dramatically changed in the exhibiting business. When a big movie like The Empire Strikes Back or Indiana Jones, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it would only be at the Villa Theater, it would only be at the Center Theater, it would only be at the Regency or whatever. I mean, and you'd have to go so early. It was like waiting for concert tickets in the old days. You'd be lines around the block.
Yeah. And there was something cool about that, those are not the good old days.
It was maybe cool when you were 18 and you were trying to impress a girl or something. Nowadays, it ain't cool. I like reserve seating.
Walking into the auditorium with nine rows of coats between, you know, two people spread out.
Remember that? And almost the fist fights that would break out.
It's barbaric.
It's still ugly.
It's so... Now we bring in camels, so you've got something to do before,
right.
You know, take a picture with the characters, you know, meet a star of the film.
Well, that was what I was going to say, Jeff, is like you're not going to see a camel if you watch it at home.
That's right.
You're not going to get...
I don't know at Steve's house. You see raccoons.
I was going to say, there's something about a big movie opening night energy. It's a real palpable thing when you're seeing. Like, I can still feel it. We're a little bit away from the main concourse, but you can just feel the energy. It's different than anything else when you see a movie. It's the opening night is a different feeling.
That's part of that whole communal thing that we talked about.
It is, and it's bragging rights. Hey, I saw it on the opening night. You know,
And really, with social media, the spoilers start floating out there really fast.
Yeah.
And to be able to have that experience, to be able to cheer for the good guy and boo the villains, what a treat.
Yeah.
And we lost that for a while.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have it back. It's nice to have these big movies just lined up. We're not even close to being done with the pipeline of films that are coming through the rest of this year.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, Mission Impossible.
Almost exhausting. There's so much going on.
I kept looking forward to it, and I'm not giving anything away because everybody and their dog has talked about it on everywhere. But, you know, the motorcycle scene. Holy cow.
I can't wait to see that in IMAX.
You just go, he's actually doing that.
Seven times.
Seven times. And then I'm looking at it as a motorcycle rider going, okay, there goes about $5,500. Okay, there goes another $5,500.
I didn't notice there was a parachute on that bike.
And then you know how when Pee Wee Herman, you know, knocks over the whole line
the
of,
rack of bikes?
That's nothing compared to what you see in Mission Impossible. I mean, it's like a parking lot full of bikes. Oh, my goodness.
For a minute, I couldn't figure out who she was, and then I go, that's Mantis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, on that note, ladies and germs, we probably ought to take a brief break. How about when we come back, if we do the movie show top 10, the best Harrison Ford movies.
According to who now?
Me. Of all
Doug's
time.
Doug's favorite 10.
Yeah. And
did you do any black and white movies?
No, I'm doing a little clustering on these two because I wanted to get more in. And then I've got an honorable mention as well. So we'll see how you guys.
That's going to be 6 days, seven nights, right? That's the honorable mention.
No. That's not the honorable mention.
I already know what it is.
The KSL Movie Show. Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The goat bleat does crack me up. It makes me so happy.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. Movie show top 10. We can't have a movie show without the top 10. So I conjured one up, and it's the best Harrison Ford movies of all time.
We'll see.
Harumph, harumph. He sits there, okay, with his scepter. And, you know, he's like Dr. Evil, just ready to push the button on me and have the chair.
Cat.
We have three Star Wars movies to take up three spots. Three Indiana Jones movies.
No. Not the way Doug does it.
Oh.
Three A, B, C.
Okay. So. Number
7A.
Number 10 is Sabrina.
Okay. Huh? Okay.
Are we okay?
That was a good remake.
Are we okay? All right.
Sabrina.
All right, Sabrina.
I just finally saw the original recently.
Okay, so number 10 is Sabrina. Number 9, and Steve, I'll be surprised if you don't agree with this, Harrison Ford in 42.
Yes.
Huh?
Oh, that's right. He played Branch Rickey.
Yeah.
That's right. Mr. Rickey. And, you know, he was just so gravelly and so gutsy. And he was doing it for the love of the game. He was doing it for the money. And he was doing it for the principle, you know. And he just kind of made no bones about it. So no, that's number 9. Number 8, Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
Just for a popcorn movie, you know. I'm getting nods all around.
Yeah, so far.
He's the best president of the last 20 years.
You guys, well, I don't know. Dave, I think, was the best president.
Dave. Okay, that was a good one, too.
Michael Douglas was a pretty good one.
Of course, he wasn't a real president. But oh, no, that's right. That's right. Michael Douglas was a really good president. Okay.
I'd like a sequel to that one, but Air Force Two doesn't work.
I know it doesn't. Then you just have, you know, the DC-3 out there,
right.
You know, and you have, you know, never mind.
So some sequel numbers don't play well.
Number 7. Now, this was one of his spicier movies. Mm-hmm. Presumed Innocent. Oh. Huh?
That's actually one I have not seen.
Yeah. Okay. Presumed Innocent. Number 6. This is another just great popcorn movie. The Fugitive.
Fugitive.
Oh. Yeah. I'm actually surprised that's not higher up on the list.
Tommy Lee Jones in that.
Can you imagine being on that set with those two grumpy guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Okay. And then number 5, and this is where I'm taking some license. Because I can. The Jack Ryan movies. You know, Clear and Present Danger and so on. Right. He was inside. So, am I right?
Well, you're just doing
how
one
dare
big blanket
you,
thing.
Sir.
So we're taking these in kind of a
fusion of film.
A Harrison Ford little cluster.
There we go.
Okay. Then,
it's cheating, but...
number four, any list has to have this one, Blade Runner.
Ooh, which one?
Am I right? Oh, the first.
Not the second one?
No, the first one. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't.
That one's pretty solid.
I didn't do a combo on that. Then number three, this is a movie that I loved, and I thought it was such a sweet little movie, and I remember my grandma came up, and so I got out the VHS, you know, and I thought, well, grandma will like this movie, and I put it in, and then I remembered a particular scene and witness. All of a sudden, there was, Kelly, there was a little glitch all of a sudden. You know, I had the remote control, and I went, oh, grandma, something happened. I'm fast-forwarding a little bit, and so, but witness, am I right or am I right?
I mean, that's not one of my favorites. Sorry.
You have never been to Jamesport, Missouri, where D is from. D's going to come down on you.
Well, no, you're right. I've never been to where your wife is from.
That was her first teaching job.
Really?
It was in Jamesport, Missouri. Oh. Yeah, where the Amish live. All right. Number two is the entire cluster.
Oh, here we go.
Of Star Wars. Oh. But especially the first ones. I mean, the you know, four, five, and
so
six.
Come on, he has the most iconic profession or response to a profession of love in movie history.
Yeah.
Yep. I know.
I know.
I was like, great? What a jerk.
I know.
It's the most. Oh, it's, yeah.
Okay. And then number one.
6 days, seven nights.
No.
What Lies Beneath?
No.
American
Mosquito
Graffiti?
Coast. No. Raiders of the Lost Ark and the whole shebang.
So you got like 13, 15, 18.
Oh, I've got more. And my honorable
mention.
My honorable.
So pretty much everything he's done.
My
Hollywood Homicide.
Mr. Congeniality here is.
Uh-huh. My honorable. The Diet Coke's getting to me. Okay.
I told you that machine was acting up.
The honorable. Yeah, well, you got the drink, so what do you think he put in there, Jeff?
I don't know. Wasted.
Honorable mention is, and it's a nod to our profession, not movie going and geeking and so.
Oh, yeah. Though.
Morning Glory, where he plays the curmudgeon old fading anchor man who has been relegated to a morning show, and his producer is trying to get him to do anything. And finally, he kind of catches fire a bit on that. Morning Glory.
I did like that one a lot.
Morning Glory. That's the honorable mention. Did I miss anything?
Well, the best thing he's done lately, Shrinking. I know it's a TV series. It is absolutely brilliant.
Steven, these are movies we're talking
about.
He's
acting in
a great show. I'd put 1923 in there, but I'm playing by the rules, unlike some people.
You got little clusters
No wonder
everywhere.
You have an ankle bracelet on.
Not for long.
No, I do have to agree on Shrinking. I don't know if you've watched it, Doug, but it is like...
It's not a movie.
No, I understand. I understand. But
it's not a movie.
Okay. And so is your top 10, not 10.
Well, it's...
You got like 38 movies in there.
They're all movies, though. Jeff, did I miss anything, do you think?
I was just looking at...
I mean, Apocalypse Now, whatever.
American Graffiti.
American Graffiti.
But he didn't really do much.
No, he didn't. Yeah. He was just kind of driving his hot rod down
there. Ford Coupe, wasn't it?
No, the Ford Coupe was...
Oh, you forgot Secret Life of Pets 2, where he voiced the cartoon dog.
The mean dog.
Yeah. Oh, the mean dog. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that was a movie, at least.
That's bordering on firing the agent, isn't it?
I think I did it.
That's a solid list. But
it is a solid list.
The math, I got to go with Steve on it.
Well, let's see. How many Raiders movies are there now? Five.
Five.
How many Star Wars movies are there
now? Well, would
you
pick the Han Solo from Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back as the better Harrison Ford role?
Again, the first is always the best as far as just the lightning in a bottle. I'm stealing Steve's line. But the other movie was much better. Empire Strikes Back is a much better movie.
What about the dog movie where... The CGI dog.
Oh no. See, that was... I'm a big Jack London fan.
Oh, yeah, Call of the Wild. Yeah, I actually liked him in that.
Oh, man, I liked him in that. Yeah. I just... The dog... The dog's doing everything but sign language with his face in that movie. Good
Wilson. Wilson did a better job acting in Castaway. I'm sorry.
I like that. Better than a soccer ball? Okay. Well, there we have it. So you guys aren't going to, you know, skunk me on any of this stuff or mock me?
No, you pretty much named them all.
Are you being gentle? You
know, I don't disagree with you putting Indiana Jones at the top.
Yeah. No, seriously.
And I love Han Solo.
You know, and
that's the debate right there.
I mean, even if you had to pick, like, one of the Raiders movies or one of the Star Wars movies, I'd still put it in that order. You know,
Best acting, though. What do you think? Best acting.
Oh, best acting.
What would you give him an Academy Award for?
I don't know. What, is yours Mosquito Coast?
No. I was thinking
6 days.
Sometimes
6 days, 7 nights.
Anne Heche, you know, in that movie. Let's see.
Well, I think he's going to win an Emmy for Shrinking, to be honest. And then, I think, just pure acting. This last one's not bad. Yeah. Considering that he's aged and he's having to deal with...
Nobody's mentioned Regarding Henry, and that was kind
of interesting. I never saw that one. My parents liked that one a lot.
That's kind of interesting. You know, he's a lawyer and everything, but you know, when he gets shot in the head and he's recovering, he becomes a kinder, gentler soul. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, that's up in the air. All right. I guess
by tomorrow, we better have something.
Yeah, by tomorrow, we better have something. Hey, speaking of having something, we've got an interview with one of the stars from not only the movie that is being shown tonight, The Dial of Destiny, but he was in the first of the Indiana Jones movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was in The Last Crusade and Sala, better known to us as John Rhys Davies.
So 1-3-5 he was in. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So don't forget he was Gimli in Lord of the Rings.
That's right.
That was a pretty major role, too.
That's right. And, you know, how they made him smaller, because you were saying, Steve, I read a little bit on that, and, you know, the technology, I'm not sure.
The prosthetics were horrifying. Yeah. It ripped his face all up.
Yeah.
He was a dwarf.
Well, it didn't mean he had to rip his face off. I mean, the chemicals and everything that they were putting on him.
Oh, that, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like
I just thought you meant Gimli's face in the movie was all.
No, he was 6'1". He's taller than Viggo and all those other guys. So I wanted to ask him. So how'd it feel to be, you know, made the dwarf when you're the tallest one in the room?
But you didn't ask him.
Awfully focused.
The guy was
on
doing
that.
This.
Yeah, really. His handler was kind of going
pretty much. You know, cut.
Yeah, that's right. You know, doing everything but, you know, dragging, putting tape over my mouth.
And it's funny. I actually interviewed John Rhys Davies a couple years ago when he came for FanX. And one of the things I asked, this was before they had announced Dial of Destiny, and I said, so are you going to get to be Sala again? And he was like, well, I sure hope so, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so gratifying to see that he was in the movie, because he really, he wanted to, and he just wasn't sure if they were going to have him be back.
I think he feels like he didn't get enough.
But I felt like it was perfect. I think, you know, they could have woven it in a little bit more maybe or whatever. But I thought, you know, if he goes off on the adventure, that's not going to work for me.
You're right.
Not going to work for me. All right. Hey, we are coming up on 8 o'clock, so we'll have the special interview coming up. We have got Dee with her quirky picks. She's over there talking to Cal and everybody. So Dee will get quirky for us here in just a moment. And then, of course, I raised your eyebrows a little bit there. I saw that.
He's going to get quirky. It's too late for that. I mean, you know.
Oh, I'm going to tell her you said that.
No, at night. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
Just the way you said it.
But somebody
fun.
Here, I can just cut his mic off, no problem. And, of course,
one more
we've
day.
Got the big one, Jeff. I know you wait. I know Blake waits for this every week.
He does.
Telephone torture.
A classic.
It is a classic. This gentleman joined us just a little bit earlier when we were still in Jeff Kaplan's show. Now we're officially in the movie show. And again, John Rhys Davies, thank you so much for joining us here on the movie show. And we've loved you in the Indiana Jones movies. And you're in this one, right?
I am, yes. It's only a cameo, alas. But it would have been wrong to miss out on the last one.
Oh, you know.
It's a little more than a cameo.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I'll tell you, Steve and I talked about this. It was great to kind of see who appeared in this movie, and it just wouldn't have been the same without you.
Well, my mother would have agreed with you.
Now, they did a little de-aging on Harrison Ford in the beginning when he's back fighting Nazis.
Yes, yes.
But it was so
am I jealous? Did they offer to de-age me? Oh, no.
That's because you didn't need it.
That's right. And they didn't de-age Karen either.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, so that was in real time. Let's put it that way.
By the way, I think Karen steals the movie.
Oh, isn't she wonderful?
Oh,
that was a nice touch.
It was a very nice touch.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Let's talk about some of the other movies that you have done. I mean, and your voice work is remarkable. We talked about this briefly with Jeff Kaplan on his show's portion of this. But the narratives that you do, the appearance you made with the Tabernacle Choir on Temple Square, that voice, I'm somebody who loves and appreciates a beautiful voice, and, sir, you have got it.
Well, you were very kind. He had to give me something. He looked down and said, that poor fool. What can I do to stop that idiot from completely screwing up? Give him a chance. I thought, there's.
I think of Lord of the Rings, I think of the Indiana Jones movies, and more. And if anybody goes to IMDb and looks up what you have been in or what you've narrated or the voice characters that you have done, it is a remarkable career. As you look back, it has to be, doesn't it, for the time on screen, not just narrative and so on, that you're remembered for Indiana Jones and the Raiders movie?
Oh, yes. They were great. They were a great jumping-off point, both for Karen's career and certainly for Harrison's career. But also, the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Stephen had just apparently flopped. My fingers are waving in commas here. In 1941, and all the critics were doing their usual thing of saying, the boy wonderkind, you know, it's over for him. It's, you know. Actually, 1941 is a rather good movie, I think.
Yeah.
But this was a real rebirth for him and for George Lucas. And it actually set a new pattern for filmmaking.
Yeah.
That hell for leather, fast-moving, you know, quick twitches, small details. I mean, don't you remember, love that moment in Raiders where he's in the lecture hall and there's the girl in the front row and she closes her eyes slowly and he sees something on it and she looks up and he looks closer and he goes, and it's got love you. On the yes. Oh, he's just wonderful.
You know, we've talked about this, Steve and I, on the show a lot. There was something so magical about that because there aren't badder guys in the whole world who are better dressed than Nazis.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, when they tried doing it with communists in the skull, it just didn't quite hit. And there was just, as you mentioned, the magic of that. For those of us who are a little older and we remember those old serials that used to be there, that you used to look forward to, the cliffhangers, the way the camera would just down to a dot at the end. Right. Everything was exciting. It was an adventure, taking you places you'd never been. And to see that rebirth done so beautifully by Spielberg and everybody involved in the movie, including yourself, it was a joy.
It was. It was. I remember watching that opening sequence in the first time I'd seen the film in the theater. And my heart sank as I thought, that is probably the greatest opening scene of an adventure movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we can't possibly top that. And then we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just magical.
You know, it's interesting when there's a movie you love so much, like Raiders, and then you go, how do they ever top this? And I have to tell you, probably, when I look at The Last Crusade, I think that is just a fabulous movie. And it's a little bit like comparing The Godfather to Godfather 2.
Yes.
Or, you know, the first Star Wars movie to Empire Strikes Back. The
yes.
first one is always magic.
Yes.
But the technical beauty of it. And, boy, talk about a role for you in, you know, The Last Crusade. That was an amazing movie.
It was a great movie. And it was just wonderful to see Harrison, who considers himself an alpha male as well, dealing with the alpha male.
Right.
You know, Connery was the definitive alpha male. When Connery smiled, and you know that those thin lips just crinkled slightly, and the eyes just closed slightly, any woman from the age of 14 to 95 just went, oh, Sean.
It's true. It is so true. Do you know what else makes, in my humble opinion, these movies so magical? Is the characters have lovable, realistic, silly little flaws like the rest of us. Like Indy's fear of snakes.
Yes, yes.
And everybody. And I love that. It makes the character so real and relatable.
That's right, yes. I have a fear of snakes, too. Yeah. Actually, I've got over it now, but I grew up in Africa, and I remember once going to say goodnight to our cook, and out from the pantry, as I was about 5 foot away from it, a black mamba just wriggled out in the pantry, yeah. And I am still screaming inside.
Those are nasty snakes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. As you filmed these with all of the other great stars, they look pretty harrowing, some of the stuff you do. And, you know, so much today compared to back in the 80s and so on can be, you know, green screened, and a lot was then too. But were you ever in peril?
I remember shooting once in Croatia, and I said to the director, I would like to be on that parapet there aiming at the bad guys down there. And he said, no, I want you on the roof. And I said, this is an old city. It's Zagreb. Somewhere else. Anyway, I said, this is an old city, and that's an old roof. It's not smart to get on there. And he said, no, we can get in there. I said, I'll tell you what, why don't we get the stuntman to do it? And he got on it, and about 10 seconds later, his feet were dangling through the slates, and I said, I'll use the parapet there.
We are, unfortunately, out of time. I'm getting the you are needed elsewhere look from your folks. One final question. I know you saved Indiana Jones's life many times. The date is maybe the most obvious. But how many times did you save our hero?
Discretion is one of the great characteristics of we Egyptian diggers.
Yes.
You're going to go humble on us.
Yeah, you're going to go humble on us. All right. What a pleasure. What a joy to have you here. Boy, congratulations on all of the amazing things you've done. Again, as I looked over the repertoire, as I looked over your resume, I just went, holy cow. He's done about everything. Thank you for making the movie show. Now we expect to see this on your resume, too.
Well, it will. This show, it will be. But listen, it ain't over yet. I'm building a little film studio in the Isle of Man. As soon as I've got it cleared and ready, I'm going to go out and shake the money tree and make the films I want to make.
There you go. And what's it going to be about?
Well, it's about one of them is about your ancestor.
My ancestor?
Yes, indeed. Who happens to be my ancestor.
Really?
And they were smarter than us. They had bigger brains than us. And they survived an ice age. And they are not dumb people. They are very, very smart and moral.
I am looking forward to this.
It's a love story.
Color me intrigued.
That's right.
It's a love story, and you'll cheer and cry at the end.
Wow.
Are you going back to the Maserati or the Camel?
To be honest with you, I prefer the Camel.
Thank you so much. Oh, John Rhys-Davies with us. What a pleasure.
Well,
an honor.
What a delight.
To have you on the show. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Wasn't that great to just sit down and chat with him?
That's one of those memories where you're just like, okay,
yeah,
I'm glad I was there for that moment.
Boy, no kidding. And he was so cool. You know, when he was describing his studio on the Isle of Man. And
yeah, he's pretty excited.
I thought he was going to invite us to star in something. You know, he was just looking right at us, and he goes, where I can do what I want, and he's looking, but he never made the offer.
Well, he wants to shake the money tree. That's why he was looking at you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. What an amazing talent, John Rhys-Davies with us here at the Megaplex Theaters. You know, these guys have some clout. I mean, you know, I still marvel, Jeff, that, I mean, I know that, you know, you guys are kind of a big deal. I mean, I know that. But holy cow, you pull off some of the most incredible things. As I mentioned a little earlier, for those who just tuned in, I met Miley Cyrus here and Billy Ray, and I met R2-D2, and I saw the Fords that actually beat the Ferraris. The Shelby that was here. I mean, good grief. And now You know, John Rhys Davies, good heavens. And the camel and the Maserati.
It's more fun than working for a living.
You know, wouldn't it be terrible to have to work for a living? You know,
every day.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
We are very fortunate, and we have the best movie fans in the world and great partners. We're thrilled that you guys were able to join us tonight for this.
Oh, this is so much
fun. It worked out really nicely.
It really has worked out nicely. So, all right, on that note, we're going to take just a brief break. And by the way, people can go online right now, lock down the tickets and the whole deal.
We are looking forward to a busy holiday weekend.
I'll bet.
I mean, this next week, 4th of July, great movies to come see and take the family and have some fun.
You know, when we talk on the other side of this break, we probably ought to talk about some of the movies that are on the screens and that are in the pipeline. And Larry, we might be able to twist his arm to, you know, the guy that actually books these gazillion theaters.
I'm too busy chatting with camels. Larry has to do the heavy lift when it comes to the actual movies.
And then did I understand that Steve has to clean up after the camel tonight? I think that's part of the deal.
We didn't really dive deep into the fine print, but all's well.
Keep it up, Buzzball.
I've got a short-handled shovel out there ready for you. You know?
I got one, too.
Whap, right in the head. All right, it is 18. I had to wait, so I was absolutely perfect, perfectly accurate. You thought I was having a stroke.
Yeah.
The Movie Show, Quirky Pick of the Week.
Wow, I'm impressed that Deanne has graced us with her presence for this special edition.
Well, this is a special time, and this is a special theater. Wow,
this is
great. I'm not sure I've ever been here.
Oh, no, we've been here.
I have been here. Whoops. I loved it the last time
you
I came.
You have been here.
It was, shall we say, memorable?
Yes, yeah. I'm remembering it all now.
Yes, it's all coming back. I don't think you've been here for any of the big special events that I mentioned.
No, though. But I did remember when you saw Miley Cyrus. I saw those pictures, and I wasn't here with you then.
Yeah.
You
must have. What are you going to be quirky about here?
Well, I have a great quirky pick.
Oh. Do you?
I do.
We'll be the judge of that.
Well, you were there, and I think you chose it, so I think you'll really like it. In fact, we even paid for this one. It kind of – why did we pay for it?
Wow.
You have to explain what that actually means to Steve. He doesn't understand that concept.
The streaming and paying. Well, our kids were watching it, and they were settling down to watch Sneakers. 1992, Robert Redford, fabulous cast. And we just thought, oh, that sounded so good. So we popped on to find it, and it was $3.99. So we had to think about that for a minute.
I had to go and, you know, I reached down into
checked
the couch.
Checked our piggy bank.
You know, and we came up with a few quarters. And plus it goes on.
You didn't try to put them into the TV, though, right?
No.
It
goes on Dee's credit card. Yeah, so I finally said, yeah, let's do it.
It did
go on my credit card. But I think it's a great movie.
Oh, it is a fun movie.
It's so clever. And I think the thing that gets a little underrated about Robert Redford, there's so many things to like about him, but I'm not sure he gets enough credit for his comedic timing.
Yeah.
And he's really good in this. When he does that thing when he's trying to stall the lady and he goes, do you remember he does this whole thing where he's saying and you cared about him? And
David Strathairn is giving him the cues. And then he said, well, tell her that you'll – and something lewd. And Redford starts to say –
and then he starts quoting a song, you know, and the you liked her, loved her so much, and she.
It was the lady from.
That was Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah, no, she's not the one in this scene.
He was
Mary McDonald.
He was in there, the girlfriend or the fellow scientist of the guy that has developed the special little thing that they're hiding in the answer machine.
Right.
Well, it was her that he was trying to kind of. And he thought he was going to get away with just going in and getting it. But then she comes in, and, oh, the stories he's making up, and the guys back in the van are feeding him lines.
Who's else? Is it Poitier's?
Well, so Poitier, this is a great – yeah, Dan Aykroyd, Ben Kingsley, Mary McDonald, River Phoenix, Sidney Poitier, and David Stratham. So, yeah, it's a fabulous cast that I think is a little bit – River Phoenix
and
is
Dan,
really cute
Dan
in it, too.
Dan Aykroyd is in it, too.
He plays Mother.
Yeah.
Remember that? Plays another song. I mean, I think it's a little movie that was kind of underrated, but I really recommend it. 1992 Sneakers. It's pretty timeless. And Mary McDonald is so pretty in this.
Oh, she is.
Remember,
just
she's got the chic short hair, and she's just so cute in it.
Yeah.
And,
that whole cast was just amazing.
It was an amazing cast.
I just remember
them
counting the times that they went over the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
When he was being kidnapped.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
And then when David Stratham drives the car and he's blind.
He's blind.
And Redford's talking him through how to where to turn and what to do. So.
Yeah, and he makes an obvious mistake. He goes, "Oh, no, that'll work." You know, they just he's driving all over everything.
So anyway, I recommend that. And here's the question that I want to ask Andy.
Okay.
Only I might want to know. Is your wife ready to do this with you?
She is not. Believe this or not, she's not a huge movie fan.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yes, it has made it very easy to go to a lot of these screenings because she's like, no, I'm good.
Well, there are a lot of them I don't go to either. But
all you have to do is say, Animals in Peril, and Dee will not get close to
I'm
it.
I'm out the door.
Why Guardians was. She hasn't seen Guardians.
Even if they're animated, even if it's like Bambi, forget that. I can't.
Really?
No.
Even Bambi, huh?
Yeah, even if they're not real. I don't care. I can't handle it.
Well, my wife is looking forward to Legally Blonde. That's the only movie I've ever been to with her where she's laughed out loud or the Legally Blonde movies.
Well, her she's got to step up and she's got to, you know, be here and follow her husband like a good movie show wife.
Oh, okay.
Not going to ask about my wife.
Now we've gone into her love of fantasy
that's
movies.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, okay.
I do have one on TV that just dropped that we really liked, Hijacked.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to talk about that?
We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Sorry about that. But anyway.
Hijack and the new Jack Ryan season 4.
Oh, we haven't gotten to that, but I can't wait for more because we didn't have the pre-screen set, but we loved it.
Hijack is
Idris
primo.
Elba.
Hijack, you're going to hate having to wait a week for each episode.
Exactly. We do. We already do. We were what? Yeah.
Did you do the Maha thing and get the whole drop?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You got the whole drop?
I got 6 of the 7, and then finally they gave me the 7.
Oh, so we'll just drop by this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll be there. Are you cooking?
Make your special soup.
Yeah.
And we'll be there.
Anything else?
What is it? Fiesta something or another?
There's a Fiesta soup, or there's a Portuguese sopas.
Sopas.
We're not particular, Steve. We'll take anything.
If you say it wrong, you don't get any.
Only if you get the raccoons out of the house.
Well, that's not a promise I can make.
Okay. Dee, that was outstanding.
Thank you.
So what are you going to do to top that tomorrow?
I got a good one. I'm ready.
You do? Mm-hmm. You're set? You're
ready? It's in honor of you.
Oh, no. Jabba the Hutt, greatest scene.
Work in the Glory 3.
The last
yeah, Work
Mohican.
In the Glory 3. Yeah. Exactly.
Whoa, no.
Well, you know.
If you blink, you miss it. Yeah.
Well, if you really slow, and it used to be hard on VHS.
Right.
But when we finally got the DVD, you really can, if you just go frame by frame by frame, there's one scene after I jab that nasty note on the poor Mormon's door.
How could you?
Telling him to get out of the county. And after I set his haystack on fire,
You're making this sound bigger than it was.
I still can't believe you didn't get a Best Supporting Actor.
I just slowly
best
look.
Best Supporting Hand.
And you can you can almost see that it's me.
Yeah, but not quite.
It's that dramatic.
Not quite.
Like the glory you're like through. The Flash, huh?
Yeah, that's right. It's so brilliant.
How many takes did you do?
Oh,
he emoted so much hate
When you light a haystack on fire loaded with propane, that's why they go up so fast.
One take.
You know, when I threw, there was one take.
Cut, more hay.
And I'll tell you, they just went, and they were so afraid because I was wearing those weird old shoes, the Pioneers, with no tread, no nothing, and they're slippery, they're leather. And they said, do not fall. Do not fall on the knife.
Wow. He could write a book on this.
I will.
And how many weeks till your eyebrows grew back?
Doug the stunt man.
And they said, honestly, now when you do get through with this take, come back and run, and then we're going to do it one more time with just the haystack burning. But there was no do-over on that haystack. So I nailed it.
One take, Doug.
Yeah.
One take, Doug.
It was a moment.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not going to say what kind of moment, but it was a moment.
Were you there watching this?
I was there, Yeah.
Did you get to play a Pilgrim's Bride?
No. I got a little taste of what it was like to, go through makeup. I mean, they didn't do anything fancy. They just made me look like a Missouri hooligan. But they literally were putting dirt under my fingernails. And I said, well, no, you don't have to. I've already done that. But they were. And then grubbing you up. And I mean, it was.
Didn't take
did
much.
You do the method acting so you treated Dee terrible all day because she was Mormon?
No, I wouldn't dare.
That's good.
You don't know Dee very well. Do you? Okay, well, on that note, look at the time. So, Dee, you're going to join us tomorrow?
Yes. Okay. I have a special quirky, final quirky pick because when you go out, I go out.
Wait a minute. That wasn't the deal.
Oh, my contract is going to keep me coming.
I think you got the extension.
Okay. You're not retiring.
Just say, hey. Here's the good news. We're losing Doug. And here's the good news. We're keeping D.
That's pretty much
They're going to have to increase my salary, I'm telling you.
All right.
I think that they would probably 10 times what I'm paying
you. Okay, I'm sure you're right. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that Steve would start paying me out of his.
It's been great working with you.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
See you later. Yeah.
We kind of like that little weird feature of yours. So, okay. Dee, we'll see you tomorrow. Actually, you're going to hang around.
I'll see you later.
Because if you don't hang around, I don't have a ride home.
That's right.
Okay. The Maserati or the Camel are still out there.
The Camel's still there. Okay. All right. We're at the bottom of the hour. It is 8:30 almost here at KSL News Radio. Still to come on the movie show, we've got Telephone Torture. It's going to be big, big, big.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Movie Show tonight, a special edition of the Movie Show. We'll be back tomorrow morning, despite popular demand, at 9 o'clock with the regular show. But we thought how much fun it would be to be here at the Megaplex Theaters. We're at the District for the opening night of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And see you, Mike. A lot of great people have stopped by and said hi, and Mike has been one of them. He's been a great listener of the movie show
He's
for a long,
long time.
He's
coming back tomorrow, by the way.
Is he going to come back tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great. So, Larry, you're the guy that books all of the movies and determines where they go and how many screens you're going to have a particular picture on. And with a movie like this that is so anticipated, the last of its vintage, you know, you never say never in Hollywood, but the Harrison Ford era, this is it. So how many screens do you put this on? How do you know?
All of them.
All of them.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have to – it's such a large puzzle, and I love puzzles, so that's good for me, but – you have to take into account all the other movies that are coming out into the marketplace. But
well, and there are huge movies that are kind of left over from a couple of weeks ago, too,
yeah,
that are just killing it.
Spider-Man, four weeks after the release, reclaimed the number one spot. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean,
yeah,
it just
Flash
shows.
Flash is pretty happy about that.
All right. Yeah,
yeah right.
Unfortunately for poor Flash. I liked that one. But
I did, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've heard some people that have really gone off on it to me that I didn't grasp why. But, I mean, you had me at Michael Keaton. Returning as Batman, right?
Isn't he great? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's this year too. We've had some internal discussions about how contrasting the audience scores are versus the critic scores.
Right.
They are like just on opposite ends of the spectrum on so many different films, and it's been really, it's one of the most unique summers I've seen in quite a while.
Steve and I have found ourselves on the short end of the discussion at the critics' gathering.
Yeah, but
sometimes
we're a little bit more blue-collar. I mean, I like to think that we look at a movie and decide, would a family of four be happy that they went to
I
see this
I always ask myself that, you know, because, I mean, I've seen a movie or two that I'm really kind of maha about that I know aren't going to really hit it with, you know, the mainstream, but it just tickled my fancy.
Like You
that
Hurt
day.
My Feelings, for example, is one that...
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice little character movie, but nobody's going to see
it. But sometimes it is. It's night and day between what the critics think is wonderful and what the people, the folks, really think is wonderful.
No offense to you guys.
No.
But I usually say...
Some taken.
Yeah.
I usually say I don't care what the critics say because
yeah.
the audience are the one who are paying with their dollars. You know, so if the dollars are up there and they like it, then I'm going to go with them. So, yeah.
Well, we obviously had no influence over the Mario movie.
Boy, no kidding, no kidding, because both Steve and I did not like that. And you know, there are movies that are just critic proof. I mean, people just love the characters. They love that it's coming back. They love that the star that they have always admired is in it. And you know. But then there is a trick to it. That opening weekend can be killer, but will it have legs? Will it come back the next week?
Right. Yeah, that the holdover on a film is usually indicative of how much people really liked it because right. the anticipation for a film could be so huge that it opens big.
Yeah.
But if nobody wants to come back and see it again, then they may not have loved it as much as what the opening weekend numbers show.
Yep. All right, I've got to ask, what's coming up? What are you looking forward to? I mean, Mission Impossible is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's the next huge blockbuster on our schedule. And after what we saw out of last year with Tom Cruise and Top Gun Maverick, we're expecting, you know, a lot of anticipation and interest in this film. And I've seen it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I loved it. I mean, some of the things...
I've seen it, too, and it's... Oof.
Tom Cruise and those stunts that he pulls off.
He's nuts. He's insane.
There's an ending sequence. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it has to do with the train and some of the action stunts that go on that.
Yep.
And they just kept going and going, and I was so drawn in and just believing everything that I was seeing that I was like, at one point I was like, I just sat up in my chair and went, oh, my gosh. It's still happening, you know. And I was just—I
forgot to
crazy.
Breathe. I seriously go, yeah. Take a breath.
Yeah. Can't you just see when he's shooting some of those scenes, like the motorcycle scene? And I'm not giving anything away. That's been talked about like crazy. But everybody at they must be holding a prayer circle while he's doing that at the insurance company. Just there, going, oh, please.
The behind the scenes featurettes that are out there that you can find probably on our website, on our Facebook pages and social media, as well as others that show them doing that, holding hands and saying, we have visual of a parachute release. Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I they are. They're just like, there's the meal ticket.
Well, okay. I love the story on the motorcycle. They, you know, because the first one they went, oh, great. And then he goes, no, I can do better.
I can hold on to the bike longer.
Longer.
Yeah, you know,
and you
comments
go,
like that. Yeah.
No, we don't want you. And then he does it again and again and again. What was it, 5 or 7?
7.
7. Okay.
The funny part is, having seen it in the movie, it kind of paled in comparison to
did
the
did you think that too?
Yeah.
I don't want to downgrade it for what it was in the film. I've had the same feeling. Seeing it so many times in these featurettes, I thought it was more impressive there than what you actually see in the film. It's like they didn't show enough of it. I wanted to see more.
Yeah.
Not to say that it still wasn't incredible what it leads into in the film, but
That everything that came after that was like, holy mackerel.
Yeah, oh, man. I'll tell you, amazing. We need to make sure you guys are going to hang in here, right? I want the whole cadre here with us on this one as we do a little telephone torture here.
I'll be in my trailer.
Yeah. No, you won't. Telephone torture here.
They're like, what's he talking about?
Telephone torture.
That means play the intro.
The KSL Movie Show.
Well-oiled machine.
Telephone torture.
You know, we're a solid
There's
act.
No napping.
For a second, I thought Blake Anderson took control of your board.
No, really? No, we
yeah. didn't. Kiboshed it from afar.
Okay, now what we're doing here is having a Harrison Ford pop quiz telephone torture. Okay, so we're going to play a little soundbite, and we have two tickets to any Megaplex theater you want to go to, and we have two drinks and a tub of popcorn.
Are you asking, or are you...
I just want to make sure.
Oh. We can do that, or we've got
or
we've got some prizes from our friends at the studio for Harrison Ford fans for Indiana Jones. So we can also do the prize pack plus the Harrison Ford package on top of that. So
really,
it's up to you. Two doors, you know, the traditional prize, movie popcorn.
I think having a mega prize is perfect for tonight.
So there we go.
Okay, so you get not only the traditional, but you get some of the goodies.
We've got
a plethora.
We have a plethora.
A plethora of goodies. Okay, so the number to call is KSL Talk 5, again, for movie show listeners, nice and slow, 801-575.
This is past their bedtime.
Talk,
you know.
I know. So, and what we want to do is play a little soundbite for you, and we just give you a little short window of time to name the movie. So, okay. Here we go. Let's go to our first victim. I mean, our potential caller, our potential wiener. And hi, who's this? Hello?
Yellow.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Are you sure?
Nervous now, thank you.
Well, you know, the first caller gets a pretty tough one. So, you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, this is a Harrison Ford movie. Listen very, very closely. Here we go.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I don't dance.
Okay. All right. What movie is that from?
That was a short clip.
I know. But I'll repeat it. I'm sorry, Mr. President. I do not dance. Or something like that. Okay. 1, 2, 3 strikes. You're out at the old telephone torture. That was from Clear and Present Danger. Ah. So do you know what that makes you?
A loser.
That's
Yay!
So true. Hit the button. Bam. Poor Blake's at home just weeping right now. right now. Okay, now let's go back to another caller and find out who is on the line with us now. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Charlene.
Charlene, do you want to be a big wiener?
You know, I like being a wiener.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. It's better to be a wiener than a loser sometimes. All
well,
right.
Either way, I'm happy.
Either way, yeah, see, that's a great thing about our
I'm
movie
okay.
show listeners. Yeah, wiener, loser, hey. Okay, listen very closely to this soundbite and tell me which movie it's from.
What's the point of all my experience? You don't listen to me.
Okay, what's the point of all my experience? You don't listen to me.
Indiana Jones.
No,
I don't know where...
it's the
no
Frisco
idea.
Kid. Yeah,
okay.
I'm a little obscure
again,
there.
I still don't know.
Remember when he's trying to take the rabbi, you know, to safety, and it's Gene Wilder? Well, that's...
Doug, nobody remembers that.
No one would
this
have got
is, this
that.
This is but where see, Blake asks to get everyone's contact information.
I know. We'll, go, we'll, please. We'll going to make this good.
Well.
Well, but, you know, embrace it. What are you?
I am a good loser.
A good Bravo. Loser. Hit the button.
You bam. Lose. Good day, sir.
Okay, or ma'am in this case. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. Fabulous prizes worth up to dollars are on the line, and let's find out who's out there now. Okay, on KSL Talk, hi, who's this?
This is Vicky.
Vicky, okay. Now listen closely because I won't say that this is a chick flick, but I will say that women love this movie. Here you go.
You don't. Deserve her. I don't. I know that. But I need her. And I don't need anything.
Ooh. Okay. He knows he doesn't deserve her, but he needs her. What movie do you think that is? One.
Oh, I'll guess Witness.
No, it wasn't Witness. It was Sabrina. Sabrina.
Ah.
So that makes you a...
A loser.
Yeah, but you're a good loser.
To be fair, Doug,
yes.
Women love all of Harrison Ford's movie because Harrison Ford is in them.
That's probably true. That's a good
point. So you got to narrow it down a little more than that.
Okay, so here we go. We need to get another potential wiener on the line. And hi, who's this?
This is Daryl.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, got big, big prizes on the line here. Listen to this soundbite and tell me what movie it is from with Harrison Ford.
He said one word all night long. You're a weird broad. You don't appreciate me soon. You're going to be hanging on for mercy when I get this sucker rolling.
Okay. You ain't said a word all night. What a weird broad. But you'll soon appreciate me. You'll be hanging on for mercy when I get this sucker rolling.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Is it Harrison Ford as Han Solo in Star Wars?
No! Which makes you a...
Loser!
Loser! Bam! Hit the button.
Oh, I'm a loserizer?
Okay. Now we go on to yet another Harrison Ford movie. We do have an idiot proof. You know,
where he just says the name of the movie?
No. I actually look for those, but all right. So
would you say it's a clear and present danger?
let's go back to the phone line. And hi, who's this? Hello?
They're all snake bit.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this? Hello? Now, this puts us in an interesting dilemma. I think we're going to have to go to another caller. Because
no, they're there. Hello, come on.
Are you there?
Hi.
Talk to us.
Hi.
They're
there.
Okay. I think we did the switch. Yeah. Fast switch here. Okay. Are you ready to listen to this soundbite?
I sure am.
Okay, here we go. Now listen closely.
I didn't kill my wife.
Okay. I didn't kill my wife.
It is... Oh, I know it. He's on a train, and he's a prisoner. A fugitive.
Yes! Thank God.
Ding, 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 ding. You are a big...
Wiener.
Of course you are. Now, do you want to hear the other sound bites really quickly? Okay. Steve always pulls this one out on me, And it's from, okay, go ahead and play this one.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Okay,
Yeah, it works.
All right, from The Empire Strikes Back. And then one of our previous losers mentioned this movie. Go ahead, here we go.
How do I look? I mean, do I look Amish?
We might have had a pretty good luck on that. Now, what about this one? Nobody would miss this one, would they?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Snakes. That's from Raiders of the Lost Ark. And this one was going to be our idiot proof because you could have answered several things and you would have been correct. Here we go.
I got a bad feeling about this.
See, that would have been as Han Solo. In
all of the movies.
In almost all of them. It would have been Indiana Jones in The Crystal Skull. And
oh, yeah.
So there you go. But you didn't even have to go all the way to the idiot-proof question. You are a legitimate big wiener. Congratulations.
Excellent.
All right. Now, you have won fabulous prizes worth up to...
dollars.
Of course you have. Now, aren't you glad that Jeff V. Whipple stepped up and not only gave us a major prize, but I'll take credit for this, did not allow it to be broken down to a
wow.
choice. So she gets the whole enchilada.
Very Oprah.
Excellent.
Yeah, very Oprah. Yeah, I'd be giving everybody a car if I was Oprah. Okay. All right. So there's one little thing you have to do, because you are the big wiener. But as you well know, there are losers out there tonight lurking about. So what do we do?
A few.
What do we do to make them feel better?
We introduce the chairman of the board, Mr. Frank Sinatra.
Wow. Bravo.
Well done.
Wow. That was nice.
Here's to the losers.
Yep.
Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
It's hard to imagine the bad old days before we had a loser song to make all the losers feel better about
them. It just was hollow, wasn't it?
It just, you know. And a big thanks to the Megaplex Theaters. Aren't you guys proud when you hear this, Larry? Doesn't it just put a little tingle up your back?
Oh, me? Yeah. I'm not like Blake. I find quite a lot of pleasure in this.
You're sick and
wow.
twisted, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Jeff the Whipple, huh?
Always. Always a delight.
Always a delight.
That tingle up your spine, by the way, was a cattle prod, so just... What?
We're late night. He's allowed to say that.
Okay. Well, on that note,
movie show after hours. Here we go.
The movie show unplugged. Oh, no. Well, congratulations to our big wiener. And we are, as we speak, extracting all the information allowed and even not allowed by the NSA. And that includes the key to the safe deposit box she has.
Yikes.
So, you know, we're thorough.
She just hung up.
She just went, okay, I like that prize, but not that much. No, it's a wonderful prize, and we had wonderful wieners, well, wiener and losers on the movie show today. On that note, let's take a brief break. We'll come right back with the final dramatic moments of the special edition of the movie show at the Megaplex here at the District.
Very special.
It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all.
On KSL News Radio.
This special edition of the movie show has been happening here at the District with our friends at the Megaplex Theaters. And I not only appreciate the fact that we're here for Indiana Jones, but I appreciate the fact that this is going to be one of my very, very, very last movie shows. And I'm so pleased that a couple of weeks ago we were able to hang out with you guys at Jordan Commons, where it all began, and to have, the first time we had Larry, and then to have Gail, and it was just like bookends for me, and it meant a lot to me. And it's so much fun to be here tonight. This really is fun. Tomorrow will be my final movie show, but I really want to underscore that these two guys that are sitting next to me, you know, Steve has been with me for a quarter of a century plus, and then Andy.
Feels longer.
Andy, yeah. And boy, for me too, believe me. And then, you know, Andy, who's just been, started off as just, you know, just a great supporter of the show and even a fan of the show and has participated behind the scenes. So it's going to be a great continuum. But boy, I'll tell you, the Megaplex Theaters, This has been a real key for us, you guys. Yeah. So Larry and Jeff the Whipple, thank you for joining us today and hosting the movie show here at the district.
It has been our pleasure, and we treasure the relationship and continue to. We are thrilled that you were able to join us for this night. We tried to pull out the stops.
Oh, man.
In large part as tribute to what you have done for Megaplex over the years.
What a joy to watch this company grow and to see Gail and Larry's vision just grow beyond. You know, I don't think Larry would really be surprised at anything. He was so visionary. But for most of us, we're going, holy cow, he meant it. He really did. Larry, thank you for joining us tonight. Jeff, thank you for all you've done for the movie show, for KSL, for me. And this has been a joy.
Thank you, Doug.
And it's time to get your tickets to see Indiana.
Absolutely.
Jones.
We'll see it.
And now with the Dial of Destiny. Hey, we're at the tail end of the program. Hey, you guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Yeah. Andy, good to see you. You're going to join us tomorrow at
I'll
NPS.
I'll be there tomorrow, yep.
All right. The final.
You know, it's funny. You guys can't hear it because you have headphones on, but Thus Spock Zarathustra is playing out in the lobby as you're talking about these things. It's like the most perfect. Nobody can hear it but me, but it sounds awesome.
Is that great big rectangular weird thing kind of floating toward me?
Well, it's actually a Barbie promo. But
yeah. Or are they saying, you know, what are you doing, Dave?
We're the monkeys that are dancing around it.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. You know, I'm keeping my track record going strong here.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.